This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Help me welcome to the program UVA physicist Brad Cox. He joins me on the show. He is a team leader for scientists at the university who have worked on the Hadron Project in Geneva, Switzerland, which has made science history. Brad, how are you, sir?
Just fine.
Thanks for joining us, and thank you in advance for your efforts to explain this as best as possible. So tell us first, what history was made? What's significant about this this moment in time that in particle physics and what happened in Switzerland?
Well, we moved into a new energy regime quite a bit higher than we've had before. So we've presumably are going to see lots of new phenomena. We certainly expect to. What we do is we collide protons together, and we, at these very large energies, there's plenty of trillions that I'll be talking about here, 7 trillion electron volts of energy. Think about it, your 6-volt battery, line up a trillion of those in series, and you have the energy that we achieved to do our studies. We hope to, with these two protons colliding, to replicate what happened in the early universe at 1/1,000,000,000 of a second after the Big Bang. And at that time, the universe was very hot, 1,000,000,000,000,000,000 degrees. So the 75-degree day here sounds fairly cool compared to that. And in that era, we believe we will see some of the answers that we've been after for 50 years. The machine is an amazing device, 27 kilometers in circumference, and has many golly gee whiz numbers about it.
Yeah. We're talking with physicist Brad Cox from the University of Virginia. So the last metrics I got was 7th grade. 27 kilometers is about how many miles?
Oh, golly.
Sorry.
Can't do the division. I defend 1.6 kilometers per mile. So do the division.
Yeah, so it's a long, long way around. And this is all underground, right?
It's all 200 feet underground. And we have to lower the pieces of the detector into the areas that we want to assemble it. The biggest piece of our detector, which weighs more than the Eiffel Tower, was about 1,200 tons.
Holy cow.
So there are only five cranes in Europe that actually could handle that kind of weight. It was a big media event.
Yeah. So you basically, tell us what happens here. You take these protons and you run them in opposite directions around this tremendous circle under 200 feet underground in Switzerland, and at what I think it's 4 points in the loop, you make them cross paths and collide into each other. Which produces what, though? I mean, what are you looking to see? What's the whole point of this?
Well, we see a burst of particles coming out, and we expect to see new kinds of particles that will give us hints as to what lies beyond what we've seen already. By the way, the machine actually straddles the Swiss-French border, so the protons go around and around from Switzerland to France 40 million times a second, so that they don't require any passports.
Holy cow, 40 million times a second these protons are going around a 27-kilometer loop.
Well, we collide them 40 million times a second, so there is a...
Wow.
It's, as I say, there are many, many... zeros in the business that we're in.
Yeah, we're talking with Brad Cox, physicist at the University of Virginia. So what's all this about black holes? And people saying, oh, no, they're going to, you know, you're going to ruin the world and you'll create a black hole and we'll all disappear into it.
Well, it's probably a good fodder for a movie, but we would be so lucky as to make a black hole. A black hole of that size decays very quickly by what's called Hawking radiation from Stephen Hawking's work many, many years ago. So it's really no problem at all. In fact, you would have to run this machine for many, many, many years in the range of millions of years in order to have anything that approaches the proof that black holes are not injurious to your health. The sun exists, and cosmic rays out there in the galaxy are much higher energy than we can make here on Earth. So the sun has been bombarded with them for 5 billion years, and it's still there. It hasn't been eaten.
Yeah.
So don't worry. Don't take out any insurance.
So I was watching a documentary the other night, and I was captivated by this idea that when a star explodes and you have this bang, it releases all the elements that make up life. And at the core of suns throughout space, or at the core of stars, that's where we find all the elements of life that are sort of locked away. And when a star explodes, it releases these things into space, and that's how you get, you know, magnesium and calcium and carbon and silicon, and that's all in the star.
Oh, that's correct. In the early universe, which is the kind of thing we study, the stars were mainly helium and hydrogen, and so the novas, supernovas, were necessary to fuse those elements into the higher elements that we were all made out of. So if you want a piece of a star, just look at your fingernail.
So when you run these protons into each other, the hope is that you might see actually the creation of new elements? Is that the idea of things that we've never even seen before?
Not necessarily new elements, but elements that are much more or particles that are much more massive than we've seen previously. We believe there's a whole structure out there beyond the 6 quarks and leptons that we think are the smallest particles of smallest constituents of nature that we've seen so far. And we hope to see that structure. If we see that structure, we'll be able to, or we hope to be able to, understand physics all the way back to the Big Bang. So it's a monumental task. We've been at this for some 16 years, building the machine and the detectors that you mentioned, the 4 detectors. And they have many people working on this. In fact, this is a sociological experiment as well as a physics experiment with all the different nations that have come together. And we have representatives from almost every nation on Earth working on one or the other of these detectors and the machine. So it's rather a miracle that we have made the kind of society that can hang together do such a difficult project.
Yeah, it really is amazing. I mean, scientists and athletes sort of lead the way to world peace, you know. I mean, governments are far behind.
Yes, in fact, some of the people that work on this experiment come from countries that have undeclared wars with each other.
Amazing. Gosh, and yet they're working together on this one big project.
Yes. It's satisfying in some sense.
Yeah,
we
indeed.
We can do something like this.
Brad Cox is a professor of physics at the University of Virginia. So what's the very latest now on this thing? Is do you run these things around this ring and collide them every day, or is it just certain times a year?
Yes, this 7 trillion electron volt interactions is the goal, the initial goal. We will go up to 14 trillion in due time, but we'll now start a 2-year run that we'll try to accumulate as much data as we can. The particles that I mentioned that we hope to see, only 1 in 10 trillion of the interactions that occur at a billion times a second have that particle. So these detectors have to be smart enough to pick out, you know, at least lower the odds that you're going to get something on your disk that actually has new physics in it. So there's a lot of smart electronics that goes into the front ends of these experiments to make that choice for you.
See these new, you know, subatomic structures that are created as a result of this, these explosions and these protons running into each other in this gigantic ring. Do you look through a telescope, or you look at a computer screen, or you hold something up in your hand? What are you actually looking at?
Well, the detector has about 6 components to it, major components, and they're like layers of an onion that, as you go from the interaction point on out, they're built to measure all of the particles that come out from the interaction and tell you their energy and their direction, which is what we need to reconstruct what went on in the interaction. So what the UVA group has been working on is called an electromagnetic detector, and it's made up of 74,000 lead tungstate crystals that are arranged completely hermetically around that interaction point. And so think of it as a 74,000-pixel camera that takes a picture of every interaction that occurs. And we then go off and look at the signals that we have in these lead tungstate crystals to see, to reconstruct the tracks that that detector was built to detect, which are basically photons and electrons. So that we contribute that to the experiment. Other detectors look at other particles that come out, and as I say, there are about six of these major parts of the detector. And there are, of course, I'm talking about the awkwardly named compact muon solenoid detector, or the CMS detector that the UA group is working on.
Yeah, it's really something.
And it's exciting that Virginia is this involved in this thing. It's international science history, and we've got physicists right here in Charlottesville who are involved in it.
Well, we like to think so.
Yeah. So no need to worry now, before we let you go, no need to worry about black holes and, something in the ground in Switzerland swallowing up the universe.
I think not. Actually, the black holes were in some way a boon for us because it got us a lot of publicity, even though there was not very much to it. So perhaps there will be a movie.
So physicists, when y'all are around the water cooler and drinking coffee and looking at pictures of this thing, you sort of laugh and chuckle and roll your eyes that the general public is cluelessly worried about black holes.
I think so. Angels and Demons was quite a hilarious book. And trust me, if anyone has read that book, the director general of CERN does not come down to the gate in a white lab coat to welcome a wayward physicist.
Brad Cox, he's a professor of physics at the University of Virginia, a team leader on a physicist here in Charlottesville at work on contributing to science history in Geneva, Switzerland. Oh, I wanted to ask you, weren't we going to do this in America? I mean, wasn't there one of these things that was supposed to be in the ground in Texas years ago?
Oh, yes, that's the reason I get on a plane to go to Geneva so frequently, is that that was not successful in passing through the barriers of Congress.
So it was just the political will wasn't there to invest in this kind of thing, but we could have had this here in America.
Well, we were a third the way through it, and it did not survive a vote.
That's amazing. Brad Cox, he's a professor of physics at the University of Virginia. Brad, thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations on reaching this level, and best wishes for higher levels of energy in Switzerland.
Well, thank you very much, Coy. It was a delight to be here.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.